Oh, there is major controversy. Major controversy brewing in the studio right now. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey, Austin Bechtold in for the guys. Having a great time on Thursday. That break was something. So there is a nickel sitting on the counter here. And that sounds like a Clark song. It is not. Charlie Borges was explaining that I guess he threw some change or something last night while he was producing on the air with Josh Roundtree, and the nickel stood straight up, and now Borges has a sign in front of it, "Don't touch the magic nickel." So, of course, I was screwing with Charlie and pounding the table and blowing on the nickel and trying to get it to fall over.
And,
because
of course,
you have to.
The magic nickel did not move.
No. No. And concurrent with that, we're watching FS1 in the studio, and Colin Cowherd is, well, I wouldn't exactly say he's praising the Steelers and what what they're expected to do. Has them very, very low on the AFC North rank or the AFC rankings, period. And it's grinding Limit's gears. He's fired up.
So I like Cowherd. I think he's the best national guy out there doing this thing. But he had a ranking that absolutely fumed me. He did the AFC, the top 10 offenses that are in the AFC. Two teams ranked ahead of the Steelers who were placed at 10 were the New England Patriots, who last year had, the worst roster in the entire NFL, outside of Drake May winning them a couple of games just on the goodness of how good Drake May is. That team was horrible, and they didn't do that much to improve it. But the one that really got me was the Tennessee Titans. I didn't know that we were proclaiming Cam Ward the second coming of Jaden Daniels this year, where if there wasn't quarterback desperation out there in the NFL, where every single season you can bank on a quarterback going number one overall unless there is a generational player, Cam Ward, I think, would have been a mid-first-round pick. I don't think Cam Ward is as great as a lot of people are trying to make him out to be. A part of it is, well, Tennessee really needs a quarterback, and he's the best guy that was available. So Cam Ward, of course, has to be the first quarterback taken. Yeah, when was the next quarterback taken? Jackson Dart, late 20s. Cam Ward, I think, probably would have been a pick more so in the teens. But you're telling me that the Tennessee Titans offense, who overpaid for Dan Moore, that on the right side of their line has old Kevin Zeitler and J.C. Latham, who's okay. I think the Steeler offensive line is better. I detract from the Tennessee offensive line because they added Dan Moore. Okoronkwo at tight end
for
is
an absurd
just fine.
Salary.
Can you name me a wide receiver on the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, I can.
So they do have Calvin Ridley. Congratulations for them. Who else do they have? Who is their wide receiver two this year, Jason?
Oh, buddy. The Van Man, Van Jefferson.
Van Jefferson
is
one of their wide
receivers. This is the team we're putting ahead of the Steelers.
So Calvin Ridley, who had a really good year last year, old Tyler Lockett, ineffective Van Jefferson, and Treylon Burks, who I keep hearing about as a trade target for the Steelers, but yet probably either A, he's going to miss games because he typically has a knee injury that is always dogging him, or is just ineffective and not somebody who you can consistently bank on. Tony Pollard's their running back. You just cannot convince me that that is better than the Steelers. You just can't.
So that's amazing. The guy that isn't going to any training camps or probably talking to any sources with direct knowledge of teams, and he's charged with instead trying to get a read on all 32 teams, might miss one. Who has no heightened football knowledge from playing the game or being around the game, who just is in front of a microphone, might not be completely correct.
Tony Pollard rushed
Stunning.
For 1,000 yards last year. So did Najee Harris.
I know.
So I don't understand where the whole support of Tony Pollard. And look, if you rush for 1,000 yards now, don't you think you ultimately should, considering there's 17 games in the season?
I do.
Like, if you don't rush it for 1,000 yards,
very diluted,
it should end up being a problem.
I've always thought that. Like, the, even if you do 1,000 divided by 16, like, it, you know, still, we're looking at 63 yards a game.
Right. Like, that's not that big
of
a deal.
It's not that much, really.
Especially when you're getting 15 to 20 carries.
You know, that's like even 3,000 passing yards anymore. Like, it's not what it once was. In the way the NFL is skewed toward offense, like, that should be kind of bare minimum. at this point. I'm not going to say, oh, he rushed for 1,000 yards. That makes Najee Harris good. No.
So Treylon Burks.
Not necessarily.
To the, I guess, wide receiver three, had 4 catches for 34 yards last year. That was it. In 5 games. 1 catch in 4 games. And yet, we're trying to be convinced that he is better than, I mean, I guess Jonnu Smith would basically be the comp at this spot. I mean, if you're taking Okoronkwo against Pat Freiermuth, I'm taking Pat Freiermuth. If you're taking Burks against Jonnu Smith, I'm taking Jonnu Smith.
Yep.
If you're taking Calvin Ridley or DK Metcalf, I'm taking DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett or Calvin Austin, I'll give you Lockett. I still think even though he's old, he's effective. I take the Steeler running back room over Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. I would take Aaron Rodgers over Cam Ward.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a silly debate. I mean, it really is. Like, the Steelers are going to finish ahead of the Titans. What are we even talking about here? Because one person that we know their name said this. Like, it does not make it gospel.
It's ridiculous to get somebody like me fired up about it. That's why. And I'm sure that...
I'm sure
Malzi would be the exact same way if this gets brought up on their show later on.
That's great. I hope it is, but I don't know. Colin Cowherd, I guess, because he says things articulately and brings up points, like, it doesn't make him some football-knowing savant any more than anybody else. It's just it creates a discussion point. But there's no way. There's Drew Aller. It's your buddy on TV.
Yeah, I got to go back and watch that. Him and Franklin were on yesterday. I only saw clips.
Yeah, I saw some clips of Franklin. We're going to get to that a little bit later. I also want to pay off a tease from earlier and doing a lot of things simultaneously. It's a good time.
We need to do a Pomp and Joe on the road like we did with Pitt Volleyball, and we got to go talk to Drew Aller.
Good luck with that with Penn State's strategic communications team. Maybe you can shout questions from afar. So this got me in reading and prepping, talking about Jalen Ramsey, where he's going to fit, Mike Tomlin, how much he's liked Jalen Ramsey over the years. Obviously, there's a relationship there. It's an interesting storyline. So remember Limits a couple weeks ago? It was around the time of the trade. And it came out about how much Mike Tomlin has loved Jalen Ramsey for years. In his draft year, they took Jalen Ramsey out to dinner, and that showed what kind of football player Jalen Ramsey was. He's dedicated. He wants to learn. Loves the – just has this, like, unquenchable desire. All this fun stuff. Well, Jalen Ramsey yesterday in Latrobe. At the time, I was broke. I was taking any meal I could have. I remember they took me to dinner, and it was a super cool meeting. I'm not saying anything against Jalen Ramsey, and I'm not saying this move's going to be screwed. It might not be. It might be really good. I like Jalen Ramsey a lot as a player. I just found it interesting that the head coach loved his acumen and all this stuff that he thought Jalen Ramsey was in it for. Jalen Ramsey's just like, man, I was hungry. I'm a college kid. I want some food. They're going to take me out to a nice meal. I'm going to take advantage of it. Just interesting how one side can see things one way and the other can see the other. Yeah, I think Jalen Ramsey is a really good player. It'd be foolish not to say that. I think he probably puts a lot into his craft. You don't get to where he is without doing that. But there's a lot on Tomlin here. He's basically picking his personal fantasy football team. Think about what he's waited, how the Aaron Rodgers process played out. The Jalen Ramsey trade, Jonnu Smith, how they're going to fit these guys in here. It's unique, to say the least. And if it doesn't work, I think it says a whole heck of a lot about Mike Tomlin. All right, I want to squeeze in a phone call before we get to a break. Reminder, Garrett Webster will join us at 11 o'clock to talk about his dad, Iron Mike. Of course, you know all about Mike Webster. But Garrett's got a really fascinating and fun social media presence, does a lot to honor his dad's legacy. I think it's an important one to talk about. Great to have a chance to do it on the radio as well. It's something I wrote about recently. But let's go out to the fan hotline, find John in Wexford, wants to talk about Mike Tomlin. What's up, John?
Hey, Jason. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. Okay. So, yeah, look, for Mike Tomlin, his tenure here in Pittsburgh will continue until he decides he no longer wants to coach. And this is going to come down to Art Rooney. Basically, his only hire as president of this team, right? Started his career as an attorney, picked up the family business as his father was getting older to take over as the president. It's the only hire he's ever made. Art's never going to let Mike Tomlin go, or air quote fire him, because he would then damage the Rooney name and the fact that this, you know, that Dan put together the Rooney rule. He's never going to do it. He's never had a losing season. That's all well and good. We know about all the eight seasons now with no playoff wins. And, you know, since 2010, I think it's three playoff wins since 2010. He's not going to let him go. This is all about Mike Tomlin and his decision on whether or not he wants to continue as head coach. I firmly believe that, and that's okay. He's earned that right, and this franchise prides itself on the fact that they've only had three head coaches in 56 years, right? That is a cornerstone of stability for them, and that combination will keep Mike Tomlin employed until he no longer wishes to be employed. I would like to see them win a playoff game or two, or maybe make a Super Bowl, and I'm sure everybody else would. But I have a hard time believing that that's going to happen under the current administration and the roster that they have put together. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I mean, that was a 90-second call that could have been boiled down to 2 seconds. I don't think the Rooneys are going to fire Mike Tomlin. Yeah, fair take. Mike Tomlin might not want to do it again. It might be collaborative. Maybe they talk and say, you know what, now's a good time for a split. I think Mike Tomlin will want to continue to coach. You don't get those vibes. But if there's an opportunity for a reset, if all of this fails, you've guys on one-year deals, you've got to recalibrate quickly, it does provide that. You know, the Steelers are not required to employ Mike Tomlin in perpetuity. No caller would say that. All I'm saying is that if it goes very bad, if we're talking 5-12, 4-13, something like that, again, I think it's very good for the future of the Steelers to fall down that far. But at that point, do you think about doing it with another coach? Same guy will have been here for 20 years. I don't think the Rooneys are thrilled with where things are. I think they give Tomlin too much leeway. I don't think he absorbs enough blame from them. But at some point, you have to admit that this is not working. And again, we're down the theoretical road. I understand that. I just think it's a very interesting discussion to have. All of what Mike Tomlin has done this offseason, what if it doesn't go well? We'll get back into that. I want to talk to Garrett Webster at 11 a.m. We're going to talk about 20 years since the transformative paper, we'll call it that, from Dr. Bennett Amalu on Garrett's dad, Mike Webster, changed the way we think about concussions in athletes, the way we're treated. I want to get into also how Garrett sort of, honors his dad, does it a cool way on social media, wants to tell a certain side of the story. I'll explain that.